Jesus was asked a question in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? What's the real sign of your coming? And he went through a list of many different things, and I just want to zero on a particular part of that. One of the things he told them would happen would be that men's hearts would fail them for fear, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Now, whether you believe in the global warming and the possibilities of all that would include, the crop failures and the storms that are abnormal, the extremes of weather conditions, all of these things. The Bible does say there will be extremes in earthquakes. That's another thing he said. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. And the sea and the waves would be roaring. When I see that initially, I think of the tidal wave, the tsunami that's created by an earthquake. When the storm came upon the sea, when Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the rain, and when the storms came upon the sea, he had power over that. He exerted that power over that. But listen to what it says about the wicked. And by the way, if you get in the book of Revelation, you're going to see that out of the sea came this beast, the Antichrist. Out of the sea came. And it's not the ocean. It's not about waters. It's about peoples. All of the peoples of the earth. Out of the sea of humanity, there came this particular person called the beast or the Antichrist. And he's poised, I believe, right now, because of the conditions globally around the world. People are looking for someone with solutions. One of the other signs, he said, there would be distress of nations with perplexity. There's all these complex problems, and the word perplexity simply means puzzlement. You'd think people are so educated, so technologically advanced, would come up with solutions for some of these things, but they're scratching their heads because they don't have the solutions. Years ago at the United Nations, one of the representatives, I forget what nation he represented, but it was in the condition that we're getting back in, the threat of nuclear holocaust, nuclear attack. Wars and rumors of wars is another sign, he said. And here we are, full circle, all the way back when I was in elementary school and the Cuban crisis was going on, when Kennedy, I wasn't in elementary then, I was married and we had a child during that. I remember when President Kennedy was killed and he was president during the Cuban crisis. But as that was building, this threat of nuclear war, they gave us dog tags, just like they wear in the military, because MacDill was a SAC base, Strategic Air Command. It would be one of the targets for a nuclear attack to disable that base of operations. So they gave us dog tags at Mango Elementary School. Where is Mango? Oh, it's up there near Sefner. Everyone knows where that is, right? No, you don't. So it's not even a suburb of Brandon. We tried to claim that. It's too far from Brandon to be a suburb. It's just a little wide place in the road. Amen. That's all it is, Mango. You go through and you blink and you're almost in Sefner, which is another wide place in the road. Amen. But at Mango School, We wore our dog tags to school because if it happened while we were at school, and we practiced getting under, we actually watched a film showing us what to do, and we practiced getting under our desk and covering our head with our hands from a nuclear attack. And looking back on it, you're thinking, what a false sense of security. That we had no perception of what an atomic at that time bomb could do. By the way, what they have now would make that look like a firecracker. We're going to hear this 4th of July. We're going to hear the firecrackers going off. They are in my neighborhood. I used to have a dog that panicked during that. We used to have to hold him, and he'd shake and shudder when he would hear one. Now we got a bigger dog. He don't panic. He's too big. He eat firecrackers for breakfast. Well, he's not that bad, but he's a big boy. That false sense of security. You see, every system of man has created a false sense of security. We don't need God. God is irrelevant. You're weak people. God is just a panacea for you Christians that need. We got everything we need through science and technology and education and medical knowledge. We got it all together. And we got people that are more educated and they're smarter. And we're in a technologically advanced time. The Bible said in spite of all of that, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And we saw it begin through the pandemic. They speculate that it could have really now, they pushed back on that for a long time, it could have been something that happened in the Wuhan, China lab, because they were experimenting with getting some kind of, actually it's a weapon, biological weapons, not just atomic bombs. Can you imagine if they came up with something that there was, that wouldn't run its course, that wouldn't weaken? I believe the praying people in America and around the world, because the praying people around the world really began to pray and seek God during the pandemic. Because there was a realization something is occurring that they can't just handle. And people who were not directly infected with COVID were affected by it, because thousands, tens of thousands of people died of starvation because it interrupted that route to help people. And it still interrupted. And there was a feeling. Remember when you almost didn't want to stick your head out your door because there may be somebody walking down the road with something that's liable to get a hold. The fear factor. God is going to use this. The devil is the author of fear. God is the author of faith, but only people of faith can deal with that fear factor. Without faith in God, we're left to our own devices. And when we're left to our own devices, we're going to be filled with fear and trepidation. The Bible said that the days that we're living in would be marked by it. It's one of the most frequent words that is used in the New Covenant, is fear not. Why would he do that? Because Jesus said in this world, in its condition, not the last day part, but the world in general leading up to the last day. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Greek word is thelpsis. It's a strong word. It means anguish. Anguish. And it's going to continue to get worse as time goes on and we get closer to the coming of Jesus. But he said men's heart would fail them for fear, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. There shall be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in different places. It's occurring more frequently. It's a frequency thing. The sea and the waves roaring. For just a moment, I don't believe I'm doing an injustice to Scripture. Let's don't think tsunami. Let's think global unrest. Global unrest. The wicked are like the troubled sea, the Scripture declares, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You wonder why people shoot up, drink up, toke up, do everything they can to escape the reality of a fallen world in faulty bodies. Why did they do that? Because they're looking for something, not just to satisfy, but something to give them a sense of security, peace, a sense of security. Where can I turn? Everything in this world is fearful. Cancer, diseases, possibility of something else getting out of a lab that won't run its course. I believe what stopped the course of COVID was the collective intercessory prayers of God's people. If the world thinks it's bad now, when Jesus comes for His church, the Bible said there is a force here that is holding back Satan's plan and Satan's man, the Antichrist. Can you say amen? Until he that letteth is taken out of the way, the son of perdition. Who is that? That's the lawless one, the Antichrist. He can't be manifest. The devil would do it tomorrow if he had the man. He's already got the plan. I believe he already has the man, because I believe the coming of the Lord is soon. And the coming of the Lord means that the day of the Lord is hastily approaching. And the day of the Lord is called the day of Jacob's trouble, but it will affect the entire world. Can you say amen? That's why we're told as Christians to not get caught up in the things of the world to such a degree that we're not ready for the coming of Jesus, and we don't have the consolation. If you've got peace in this day, and you've got holy optimism, you're optimistic about the future because you know Jesus is coming. Not because the right politician's going to get in and fix it. Don't put that on any man. Get the best conservative guy that's out there. Vote for that guy and pray for that guy. But understand that that guy can't do what needs to be done. And we can't do what needs to be done. And what we need to do while the door of the ark is open. Found out something about this ark. You been to that ark in Kentucky? That's a big one, isn't it? That's a big, giant thing. Amen. It's the actual size according to what... Anybody else been? You've seen it? You've seen the video? It's huge. It's humongous. We used to sing, "There's room at the cross for you." Well, there's room on the ark for you, too. Can you say amen? That's typical of Jesus. It's typical of redemptive love. When God told Noah to go into that ark, He told him not only to build it so that it could float in the flood tide, but He told him to do something to the roof specifically. He said, pitch it within and pitch it without. Wherever there is a little bitty crack, I want you to fill that crack with pitch. The word is bitumen. It's a dual used word. It's also a Hebrew word that was used for redemption. We are sealed from judgment to come. He said, not only are you not going to sink under the flood tide when the earth is flooded, but not a drip, not a drop of that represents judgment is going to drip. They didn't have to put a can out or a pan out. You ever been in a store in this heat and humidity? First time we were in the other room, we had to put a garbage can out because the condensation in the system, air conditioning system, couldn't drain out, and it drained straight down in the middle of the room. And we took a garbage can and set it there for our first service. You know what God is? God is a stickler for detail. Pitch it within and pitch it without. Because not one drop of rain, when rain was used as a judgment of the earth, you're not going to get a drip of it. Not one drop. You're not going to have to put out a bucket to catch it, because it's not coming through this covering that you're going to have over you, because you're going to pitch it within and you're going to pitch it without. When I redeem you 100%. Not 98.9% or 99.9%. Can you say amen? God is a stickler for detail. Amen. That impressed me. It impressed me when they came out of Egypt, when he delivered them from Egypt's bondage. There was not one feeble one among them. And the Bible says, stickler. Everybody say stickler. Here's the detail. Not even the dogs, not only couldn't Pharaoh stop them from leaving, but not even the, listen, several million people began walking out of Egypt. And I'm telling you, there wasn't a dog in Egypt that didn't know they were leaving. There was some rattling. There was some noise. There was some shaking going on. Amen. And not even one dog. God didn't just shut through the mouth of the lions. In the lion's den, he shut through the mouth of the dogs when he delivered his people. A dog couldn't even bark. I think my dog would explode. I think he would just poof if he couldn't bark. He lives to bark. He loves to bark. We call him Barkimaeus. You know, we changed his name. Amen. The dog wasn't able to bark. I want you to know what God is doing for you and what he's done for you through Jesus Christ, and what he's done at the cross is a mighty redemptive act of God. Amen. And it is supposed to give us a holy boldness to have a fearless attitude facing the future. In fact, to replace fear with the holy anticipation of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. What would happen if every Christian interacting with the world was filled with optimism instead of the pessimism that is permeating globally? The wicked can't find peace. They can't buy it. They can't manufacture it. There's not enough alcohol. There's not enough drugs. Amen. You know what they're saying down in Mexico about all the drugs that are coming in through Mexico? They're saying, you always talk to us about stopping the flow in, but you never deal with all the people buying it in your own country. You never have any program to help people to find some other solution. Listen, the church has it. We have the solution. I don't need something to numb me. Now you're going to get caught up in that fear if you're not careful. It's catching. It's everywhere. It's every news. Everything is it's not just exaggerated. It's just magnified. It's focused on. If there's any bad news in the world, the press is going to focus on it because it brings the viewers in. It brings them in. Listen carefully. Pitch it within. Pitch it without. Your redemption is absolutely, completely, 100% God delivering his people, because he said something that set a standard in the Old Testament. I will not judge the righteous with the wicked. The Bible said you are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. That we might have what? Boldness in the day of wrath. Can you imagine boldness in the day of wrath? The Bible said the wicked flee. Fear is so pervasive. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous, being right with God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they are bold as a lion. I used to say this, I used to sing this, but I preached out my high octaves. I don't think I have high octaves. It has to be the key of C or lower. And you know about keys. You know, we just sing by ear, but you know about keys, right? Key of C is pretty much my, you know, that's in the jungle, the quiet jungle. Who's sleeping tonight? Who can lay down and not worry about nobody jumping on him? Amen. I know the elephant can kill him, but the elephant's not out to get him. You know, he's not. You know, the lion hear him coming and run off. the lion's, why is the lion sleeping? Because he's the predator. He's the strong one. He's the feared one. Cowering in fear in a day when we're supposed to be standing in the bold and courageous faith of a people redeemed by God himself. His redemption is so powerful and so wonderful. Amen. He tells Lot, get out of the city. Get your family. Get your son-in-laws. Get everybody. But he had lived in the city so long in compromise in order for material gain that when he went to his son-in-laws and said, judgment is coming, he seemed as one that mocked. They just mocked him back. They said, are you kidding? We ain't leaving here. It's never happened. It ain't going to happen. Same attitude today. Fulfilling a prophecy or fulfilling the scripture that many would say, where is the sign of his coming? Ever since our father slept, everything is continued as it is to this day. But God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. For a day is 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as one day. He that shall come is going to come. Can you say, man, there's no if, and, but, or maybe, but the world is completely oblivious to it, and they don't want to hear it, and they push back. Actually, they caricature anyone talking about that. There are even preachers today that won't mention anything about the prophetic scriptures and the times we're living in, the soon coming of Jesus, and certainly not the judgment to come. And one of them had the audacity to say, my people don't need to be upset. There's enough things in the world to upset them. I don't want to talk about sin. I don't want to talk about judgment. I don't want to talk about Jesus coming, anybody being left. In other words, I just want to pet them and pat them and soothe them. And as Brother Taylor brought out, there's a scripture that says, prophesy unto us smooth things. Don't rock the boat. Don't upset anybody. Just give everybody a false sense of security. Can you imagine if they dropped an atomic bomb on MacDill and we're under one of those wooden school desks with our hands over our head? You know what the dog tag is for? When they find your carcass, they can identify you even though it's all messed up. In the Vietnam War, I'm going to get gross with you, but my wife had two uncles that served in Vietnam. They would put it between a man's teeth that is dead to make sure it didn't get lost so they could identify him, because they didn't know how long it would be before they would find him, because they were in the middle of a firefight and they didn't know if they'd all be killed or how long it would be to have someone come and get the dead and try to get them out. And they would kick it then with the boot between the front teeth so that it's locked in. Even if he's badly deteriorated, there's his identification. The angels come and they say, get out of the city, get your family and get out. His son-in-laws wouldn't come. His wife didn't want to leave. His daughters went with him. He gets out into the plain. He thinks, I'm a great distance away from Sodom. He's trying to decide which way to go from here. And the angel knows the judgment is coming very soon now. And they say, make up your mind. Make up your mind which way you're going to go. Choose where you're going to go and get on with it. You're not far enough away. You see, I will not judge the what? The righteous with the wicked. If you want to go through the great tribulation, I'm sorry to disappoint you. God is not going to allow you to. He will break with everything that he said about redemption. Can you say, he would break that. There are people that believe that. Pat Robertson believed that. Won't he be surprised when you don't get to go through? I'm glad. I think he's going to be glad too. Amen. One preacher said the church needs to be purified. And that's why she's got to make worthy to go up. We're going to have to go through in order to be made worthy and purified. Well, all the dead in Christ are going to rise before those people that are alive when he comes. They didn't have to go through to get purified because they were sanctified and purified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Hallelujah. And that word salvation is not just being saved. It means being delivered from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Wow. Get you out of the city. For I cannot, the angel can't say, go ahead. I can't do anything till you're safe. Safely away. Rains come. You're not going to sink in that water that represents judgment, and not one drop is going to drop even on your head, because it's not enough to have a big boat. You've got to secure the roof to where not one drop, because it represents judgment, and I will not judge the righteous with the wicked. Hallelujah. Some people just love to think that we're going to be purified during the tribulation. What is going to make you ready for the coming of Jesus is not going through the tribulation. It is being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because you can't get any more right. You cannot get any more right with God than the blood of Jesus makes you. There's a lot of things you do and can do and will do to show appreciation for that. We're appointed unto good works. But there's not a work you can do. There's nothing in and of yourself. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not a work of man to show God how worthy you are. It's a work of God to make you worthy. Thank God for Jesus, and thank God for the amazing grace that has saved you and has saved me. For we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. If you were old-time Pentecost, we didn't believe that thoroughly. We believe you get saved and you're kind of, you know, you have to now show him through all the, and I met some people that believed that, and they wore their hair a particular way. And I'm not saying not be modest. We need to understand how we represent as ambassadors of Jesus, but that doesn't save you. It doesn't contribute to your salvation. It may contribute to your reward when you get to heaven. Amen. But it doesn't contribute to God saving your eternal soul. Amen. And the fear, it's not just the world. We were filled with fear. We threw away things that we could have enjoyed, because we thought that's going to let. And when I got back from Haiti, I brought back something, and I thought, you know, here I am going through this nervous exhaustion, and I don't know what this guy did and who he worshipped when he carved out. It wasn't a god or anything. It was a banana and two oranges or something. But I just thought, you know, I ain't taking no risk. I don't need that on the wall. Devil use it to make me afraid. First thing I do, just chuck that right on out. Got saved. I'm not saying I should have kept the records I had. I had a big record collection, and we were poor, but we found money for cigarettes and records. You know, the things that are really important. Drank Kool-Aid and ate soup, but we had our cigarettes and our records. And I don't want to get in this false liberty, this hyper grace stuff that if you do anything, it's a work. No, it isn't. But thank God I'm not under that fear anymore. I'm not under that fear anymore. And that's what sets you apart. That's what will set us apart. That will give us some credibility when we tell people you need the Lord because you can live differently than you're living. You can look at the news and see it through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus. And when you do, amen, you recognize when you see these things that is creating all of this fear. When you see them, because it's last day signs, when you see them differently through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you see these things, begin, not when they come to their climax during the tribulation itself, but when you see the beginning, lift up your head. Don't get caught up in the world's fearfulness. Show the world, amen, we have something to hold on to. We have something to look forward to. We're not looking at all that. Maybe it's true about this and that and the other that's coming on the earth, but we're looking, amen, for the soon coming of our bridegroom. We're looking for the soon coming of our Savior. We have hope that the world doesn't have and the world can't give anybody. Can you say, amen? And what a time for the church to be that representative. Whoever has this hope purifies himself. We live in the light of the soon coming of Jesus, and we want to live as a sanctified people. We want to live as a separated people. We don't want to blend with the world because we don't want to get caught up in the atmosphere and the attitude of fear and trepidation that this world has. Wouldn't it be great if Christians got out of the doldrums and got out of the poor old me's and got out of the Lord, look what's happening in the earth. We're overwhelmed. The devil is everywhere you look. Of course he is. That's his job and he's good at it. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Why would Jesus say cheer up? Because it was already settling in. Cheer up. It's your joy. It's your peace that is going to be the witness to the world. It's not how you wear your hair or where your sleeves are buttoned that so nobody sees your elbow and gets excited. I don't know what they were thinking. With all the flesh now, I mean, you know, you don't have to go to a nudist colony. You just go to Walmart in the summer. Walk by Victoria's Secret. I told my son the other day, we were walking looking for some tennis shoes for my youngest son, which is Matthew, that's still here, and we were walking through the mall, walked by Victoria's Secret, looked over at Victoria's Secret, and I said, they ought to sue them for false advertisement. Victoria ain't got no secret. Give me fist bump right over here. All right. No surprise on the wedding night, right? No. Anyway, that's the world as we know it today. We can get caught up in all of that. I know Christians that are caught up in it. We got all of these, you know, whether it be, there's one lady I knew who's obsessed with the Illuminati taking over and the child sacrificing, you know, Hollywood elite that are killing and eating babies and all. Just, maybe. I don't know what the world's, I know one thing, there's no limits. When you're of your father, the devil, his works you will do. So, conspiracy or reality, what are we going to do? Are we going to just fret every day because we see this anti-Christian, anti-Christ? We see how bad and evil and wicked the world is? Are we going to raise our eyes? Amen. When you see it coming to pass, wickedness like you've never seen it in any generation in the last day, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars and these earthquakes and weather conditions and all the global conditions, the end is not yet. These are the beginning of sorrows. But you see, the beginning of sorrows means that something is coming. And that's what the world is sensing. They are primed for a message of hope. They are primed for a message of hope. But hopeless Christians getting in the same state of fear and depression as they are because of the world conditions can't give them that hope, can't show them that hope, can't be representatives of that hope. Every child of God should be a prisoner of hope. Don't be overcome with evil. Don't let evil overcome you, but overcome evil with good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And particular, the good news. Don't be intimidated by the demonic demonstrations and the devil's operations. He that's in you, he that is in you, somebody is with you by virtue of being in you. Can you say amen? And the one that is in you is the one that was there at creation. He's the one that created the universe. He's the one that walked out of the grave. He's the one that bruised the serpent's head. He's the one that is coming back to rule and reign forever. He's the one that every demon in the demoniac said, "We know who you are. Why comest thou to persecute us before our time?" That's the one that's living in you. Don't be intimidated by the devil. Be bold as a lion. Everything I see says this world, even my son, he won't say hell because he don't like to use anything near whatever. He said, "This world is going to H-E double hockey sticks in a basket." Remember that. H-E double hockey sticks. I said, "Matthew, that's good. You stay sanctified, son." Right on, brother. So, H-E double hockey sticks. I think that's pretty good. You're not cursing, right? I want to represent a king and a kingdom. The Bible said that God is love. And he that feareth is not perfected in love. It doesn't mean that we're loving God perfectly and we all need to improve on responding to his love by loving him back better and more perfectly. What it's saying is that if you have fear that begins to dominate you, it's not coming from this God. You don't understand how much he loves you and to what length he has went to redeem you and what it means to be redeemed, what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means to be in Christ and what it means for Christ in you, the hope of glory, what it means to have the great conquering King of glory living in you, the commander and chief of heaven's armies living in you. So that he that is in you. Context is knowing the spirit of Antichrist. Everyone that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is Antichrist. Can you say amen? He that's in you. We have an unction from the Holy One and knoweth all things because he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. That deceiving devil can't deceive you because God is living in you. Christ is living in you. The spirit of truth himself has come to abide in you. So we can fret and wring our hands and we can be intimidated by demons and devils and false worshipers and false gods. Or we can trust in the true God and represent him as he is the true and living God. Right now, I would have probably kept, but I was going through nervous exhaustion and I was so wondering, where's God in all of this? I just wanted to make sure there was nothing that was a barrier between me and the blessing I so desperately needed. But I begin to realize some of that was fear driven. Fear driven. If you ever go into Haiti and you see the manifestation of, you see what's going on there now, the lawlessness, the gangs running the whole place, the poverty, and we still give to that particular mission because it's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and we know personally the missionaries that live there in the danger of being kidnapped or killed, but they live there. They just come in here to raise funds to go back and try to help people. We found good ground to sow in Bobby and Sherry Burnett. When I look around, I see Christians looking just like the world, not in their clothing and all of this other outward, but in their demeanor. We see the evil everywhere, and we're supposed to be responding to evil with good. Instead of responding to evil by pulling our head in like a turtle, pulling it in, we're just going to try to hold out till Jesus comes. No, we're supposed to occupy until he comes. You say, preacher, what can we do? There's nowhere we can go until he comes to get us. We have to occupy. No, I'm talking about occupying like an army occupies a nation by overcoming that nation, taking that ground and holding that ground. When we defeated Japan and sent our troops in and set up new governments, it was occupied Japan. It was occupied by who? The United States military. And through them, the United States. Occupy till I come. Everybody say, take ground and hold the ground. We got this defensive attitude. And we need to be aggressive and offensive. You have the hope the world is dying for and crying for. Don't live in fear like them. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember when an evangelist went to somewhere in Africa, and there was a lady that held power through fear over and superstition, but she was of the occult. And she held this sway over an entire village. He came in to hold a revival meeting in that area. But people were afraid to come because of her. They figured she would be upset, and she was upset because this light was coming and she represented the darkness. So he said, the first thing I did, because I knew the news would get out, I went to her personally. And said, I looked her in the eye and said, I've come here on a mission for the true and the living God. Said, I looked her in the eye and said, my God, my master defeated your master 2,000 years ago at the cross. And right now, as long as I'm here, I am in charge. And whatever that was she held over them broke when the news got out that she couldn't do nothing to him whatsoever. You see, voodoo don't work if you don't know they're sticking pins in a doll that looks like you. The only way it's going to work is because you see the doll that looks like you with all the pins in it. And you invite fear in. In Haiti, one of the things that encouraged me was when I stood up to preach. Was it Jamaica, Haiti? I've been to both. It was Haiti. I remember I stood up with Brother R.E. Spain. We still communicate. But as I stood up to preach, there were drums and everybody looked away. They looked away because here were these drums. And here came some people carrying something, looked like totem pole type thing, carvings of some kind of something. And they were coming right down the road, right beside where we were preaching the gospel. I turned to Francois Fenelon, my interpreter. And I said, Francois, what's going on? Because I had to stop. And he said, said they're going to a voodoo cemetery. They are going to erect those things they are carrying as barriers against you and me and anyone carrying the gospel. No, 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 no! I didn't feel that. I felt God rise up on the ends. He that's in you. Don't forget that. Is he in you? Is he in you? Is voodoo stronger than he that is in you? Is the devil stronger than the Christ that is in you? Is the darkness stronger than the light that is in you? No, he rose up on the inside of me. And I thought, there's where the fear is. It's not in me. It's in them. The light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. It's not that they just don't understand it. They just can't handle it. They can't do anything against it. Amen. Porch light at noon. Insignificant to people driving down the road. 60-watt bulb. Insignificant at noon. But at midnight, the same bulb can be seen from a long way off. Can you say, man, why? Because the light shines in the darkness, and however far it shines, no matter how thick the darkness is, it dispels the darkness. You are the children of light, not the children of darkness. That day would come on you as a thief. Can you say, man, you are the, and the Bible said, because you're up against all of these powers of darkness, put on the armor of light. Can you imagine all of Satan's army of darkness and the people who have put on the armor of light? Who's going to win? Can darkness put out a light? Can light dispel darkness? We're the ones that are supposed to be striking fear in the enemy. But if you get online, my son got online, and he quit eating this, and he quit drinking that, and he quit eating this, and he quit doing that. And I took him, and he's a big eater. He's a carnivore. And I took him, oh yeah, you know what he wants us to bring him today? One whole chicken from Boston. He does not want a dinner. He wants a chicken. It's cheaper. The dinner costs more than the whole chicken. And I make some mean instant mashed potatoes. And he don't know the difference. He said, Dad, them mashed potatoes are good. I said, I know. I made them myself. I didn't say I peeled them and I cooked them and I squashed them and I put butter in them. I nuked them suckers for 5 minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. Why are we so cast down? Why are we so intimidated? What has got a hold of us? I got to hurry, but I had a lady come to me. Her husband got a hold of this hyper faith message and health and wealth, and you know, I believe in health. I'm healthy, and God has healed me, so I believe in that. But he didn't get wealthy, number one, and number two, he had a myriad of health problems. They had pastored a church near where a psychic church was meeting. One of these occult churches was meeting. And she said, I believe the reason for his health problems. Now, this is one of these people out to one of these, you know, believe God for everything and overcomer, overcomer, overcomer. Until we're exposed to some of the devil's junk. I believe that they put a curse on him. Thank you, Sean, for the old Lord have mercy. Because that's exactly, if the devil can curse what God has blessed, then we got two equal gods, and actually the devil is stronger than our God. And that's not true. That's a lie. We dare not buy into it. But to believe, use your faith to believe that the devil is the cause of all of your sickness in spite of the fact that you are a child of God, a preacher of the gospel. Don't go to Haiti. Stay out of there. Don't go anywhere where they bow to all of these gods and have all of these idols, because it's going to fill you with fear. Reinhard Bonnke went to India to preach. He sent before him one of his representatives to set up the meeting. And when his representative had been there for 2 weeks, he felt the pressure. He said, all of these false pagan gods, it's just an oppressive feeling and place. I love Brother Bonnke's attitude. He said, I got off the plane, he met me, and on the way back to the hotel, he asked me, said, Brother Bonnke, do you feel it? This oppressive spirit, because all of these false pagan gods, do you feel it? And he says, when I got off of the plane, coming here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I feel nothing but the power and presence of God. What? You can't feel it? Yeah, I could feel it if I want to go out in the dark and feel for it. But I'm a child of the light. I'm not a child of the darkness. The darkness doesn't reign in me. Light reigns in me. The devil doesn't reign in me. Christ reigns in me. So when he went to Africa to preach, his attitude was, that known as the dark continent, we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. What an attitude. We're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. We're going to win souls for Jesus. And they did. He's with the Lord now. But tens of thousands came to Christ in Africa, because he wasn't intimidated by the darkness and the superstition and all of those things. When you listen to the news, when you are seeing the wickedness, you have to look at it differently. You've got to do that. Be careful that you don't become as superstitious as the world is. There's a warning in the book of Isaiah. Stand now. Stand now. You think this is going to help you. Look into what the world is looking for. Stand now with the monthly prognosticators. Stand up with those occult people, in other words, and see if they can deliver you in the day of my visitation. Stand up with the sorcerers and all of these things that are going on that the world is looking to. If you think they can deliver you. I found out there are Christians that are superstitious. My mama came from the hills of Kentucky, where I'm from, and there's a lot of superstition. If you give somebody a knife, you need to give them they need to give you a penny, because if you don't, something's going to happen. I mean, come on. And it goes, I could go on and on and on. I found out in services there were Christians that would be in church and then they would be involved with the seance. They were just looking for some spiritual beyond the natural something. The Holy Spirit to them was just a spiritual experience. And then you go out and you get in this seance and you have another spiritual experience. It's just the wrong spirit. I went to the hospital to pray for a young lady that had become almost catatonic, but she would have periods of lucidity when she was aware, but she wasn't herself. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't drink. They were talking about putting one of those tubes directly in the stomach to keep her from dying, and she wasn't anorexic. And I was called to go pray for her. And I went in with my Bible and with the boldness of Jesus, and I went in full of faith. the authority of Christ to pray for her deliverance from what, because the doctors couldn't take care of it. I kind of like to be called after they have failed. So when God does it, God will get the glory for it, not them. That's why he waits sometimes. So I asked the nurse, I went to go in, and it looked like she was uncovered, and I backed up and I said, "Nurse, can you cover her up? I've come to pray for her." She said, "She won't stay covered, but I'll try." Covered her up, and I went in to pray, and I've never had this happen in all of my life. The Lord checked me. He said, "If you pray now, it won't be answered. If you pray now, I cannot help her. Not that I don't have the power." It was a check. I've never had it happen in my life until that point. So I went home and prayed about why I couldn't pray for her. I never had that happen. I knew it was God. I knew it wasn't the devil. I had no intimidation by the devil. So I got a phone call. Said, "Did you go to the hospital?" I said, "Yes." And it wasn't her mother either. I said, "I couldn't pray for her. Do you know what's going on?" She said, "Yeah." Said, "They used to come to your church. But then they started going to a spiritualist meeting and having a seance. And something happened to her daughter." I said, "You call her, the mama, and you tell that mama you need to repent of that sin. And it'll open the door for deliverance for your daughter. You tell her that pastor said, I went to pray, but this is the issue. You can't eat at the table of God that we're about to eat of, and the table of demons." And God doesn't mince words. He doesn't say it's some little concession made or some little compromise. He said it's light, it's darkness, it's God, or it's the devil. And you can't play both sides of this thing. It's a dangerous thing to do that. But there are Christians that think they can play both sides of this thing. Come out from among them and be separate and exercise that separateness by not touching the unclean thing. I said, "Tell that mother I'm going to intercede for her deliverance. I don't need to go back to the hospital. As soon as that mama repents, all of our prayers of intercession are going to kick in. And God is going to set her free." And that lady, I heard that lady repented. I didn't have any communication with her. Amen. Because she wasn't ready until it got into that kind of circumstance to humble herself enough to make a quality decision for Christ and to get out of that junk. Amen. And quit compromising back and forth. But when she did, God set her daughter free. There's no medical reason for the problem and no medical reason for her recovery. But God stepped in and honored the prayers of intercession when that sin was repented of. You can't serve two masters. It's a virtual spiritual impossibility. Listen carefully today. There are Christians who are compromised in what they take into their life, what they allow into their life. I'm not talking legalism here. I'm talking about spiritual wisdom. Can you say, man, touch not the unclean thing? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not tolerate it, accommodate it. But hate it, and not just hate it in the world about you, but hate it in your own flesh enough to crucify the flesh with the lust thereof. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. When I seek earthquakes, the shakings in many different places, the sea and the waves roaring, I see the global unrest that is affecting the whole world. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. No peace, saith my God. No peace because there's no hope. I was sitting with pastors last week. It was last week. And I talked about people coming to Jesus. And it was like, hurry up and get done talking about that so we can talk about politics and programs to build our churches. And I thought, wow. Wow. Just wow. All heaven stops when one soul gets saved. It makes news in heaven. There's joy in the presence of angels. When you came to Christ, there's a whole lot of shouting going on in heaven. Hallelujah. When you came to Christ, there was a whole lot of shouting going on in heaven. Amen. And when you came to Christ, and 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 we came to Christ, everybody in heaven heard about it, and there was joy in the presence of angels. That doesn't mean just the angels, that means the Father, the Son, in the presence of God, is shouting the victory. It's what I came to do, and that's, look what the cross has allowed. Hallelujah. And when preachers can't get excited about souls getting saved, the church is in a terrible state. Because we're looking at buildings, bucks, and budgets. I actually said that. I said when the church is too involved with buildings, bucks, and budgets, that we can't see the harvest field and we can't see souls and where they're going to spend eternity, there's something desperately wrong. And one of the preachers said, you know, we really need budgets. I thought, oh, let me go to church where there's some people. Amen. Get me away from the preachers and the budgets and the buildings and the bucks for a little while. And get me with somebody that says, when a soul comes to Jesus, let's have a party. Let's have a celebration. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Let's praise Him for saving the lost. What are we here for? So I found that buildings, budgets, and bucks are driving most ministries. And people wonder why I'm not involved more with this and that and the other. It's because it breaks my heart. And it causes the fire in me to see people come to Jesus, begin to if there's something that discourages me, it's when people can't rejoice over a soul coming to Jesus. As a Christian, we should rejoice. As a preacher, we should shout hallelujah. Not with everything that we have. Because that's Jesus' mission. And if we're not on mission, we're off mission. And we need to get back on mission. Raise your eyes when you see these things. Lift up your heads. Amen. And raise your eyes once again and look upon the fields. Look upon the fields of lost people on their way to eternity without Christ. Raise your eyes off of yourself, off of the distractions of the world, and look upon the fields, for they are white unto harvest. What does it mean to be white unto harvest? It means you get it now while it is ripe, or it will become overripe, and you won't be able to preserve any of it. It will be lost. the harvest will be lost. Raise your eyes and look on the fields. Let that be your vision. I'll take care of the building to hold them if you'll just go get them. Can you say amen? You don't have to worry about the budget. If you're seeing souls come to Jesus, there'll be enough people sent to meet the budget. Can you say amen? But if nobody's coming to Jesus, what's the building for? What's the budget for? What is the reason for gathering? Can you say amen? Christians need to get out of the occult in any form that it's in. We need to get out of the fear that is dominating the culture and the entire world. Fear not, little flock. You are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. We are saved that we might have boldness in the day of wrath, because we are not appointed to wrath. There's an Old Testament scripture, and there's so many scriptures. We got to have communion. It says, fear hath surprised the hypocrite. Fear shocked those who were playing church. They got caught up in the same thing as the world because they're play acting. They don't have a real, genuine relationship with Christ, and they're subject to the same fear that the world is. It shocked them. Fear hath surprised the hypocrite, saying, who among us can dwell alongside of, with the devouring fire? When God allows corrective judgments to come into a land, to bring that land to salvation, hypocrites don't have any peace, any hope. They're afraid, they're trembling, just like the world. Depressed, oppressed, just like the world. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Where'd that fear come from? I'm a Christian. Came to the fact you're not really a Christian. Or if you are a Christian, you don't understand that he that's in you is greater. And when you hear about somebody cursing you, or you hear about the devil this and the devil that, you cringe just like they do. God wants you out of that mess. The man I'm speaking of that believed that a curse could be put on him lived as if he was under the curse. As a Christian, as a pastor, and as a preacher. And the door was opened when it was acknowledged that some occult group could put a curse on a Christian man of God filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Give no place. Because if you don't give it, he can't take it. Give no place. That word place is terra firma. It's ground. Don't give him grounds to come in and do something, because you've got to give it to him, because he has no authority to take it. He's got to deceive you in order to defraud you of what is yours in Jesus Christ. So, what if all the Christians would wise up and grow up and stand up and represent this glorious kingdom of God, unafraid, in a world that is dominated by fear? What if Christians got the joy of the Lord back? What if Christians represented the peace of God? What if Christians represented the power of God? What if Christians were bold as a lion? I like what Shambach said when he was evangelizing. He said, the devil walks about as a roaring lion, but Jesus pulled his teeth at Calvary concerning the believer. But he went on to say, but the tragedy is a toothless lion is gumming a lot of Christians to death, deceiving and defrauding. Say it with me, deceiving and defrauding. If the good man of the house had known what hour the thief was coming to steal from him, he would have watched and would not have allowed. Amen.
His house to be broken into.
He would not allow it. He has the authority, evidently. He wouldn't allow it. If he had known what time is coming, he wouldn't have given place. He wouldn't have allowed it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a man of peace. But don't you come in my house trying to hurt my family. Don't you come in trying to take what I've worked hard to get and what God has blessed me with. Don't even come in to bother my dog. Who needs no defense. He defends me. Here I stand in a Christian community in a world that is sinking beneath the weight of helplessness and hopelessness. Without hope and without God in the world. Because without God there's no hope. So as the sociologists tell us, what is encapsulating the world today in our nation is anticipatory anxiety fulfilling the prophetic scripture. The future is bleak, it's dark, and it's dismal. And they're looking for a Savior. And the Antichrist is primed when we are taken to step out on the scene and say, I've got the solution to this, and the solution to that, and the solution to this. And they will welcome him with open arms. What many people forget, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, it looks like a utopian world. World hunger will be solved. Nations will lay down their weapons and come under his control. And once he has global control, financially and militarily, he will turn on the false prophet that endorses him, the false miracles that confirm the false prophet. And then the second half, when all the bowls, trumpets, judgments fall. It's compressed into the last 3.5. People think it's the whole 7. It isn't. The first 3.5 is a utopian world under a world leader that the whole world will embrace, including all of the compromised religious systems. And we can see that movement right now. It's begun. The world church is forming. World currency is in place. Nothing is going to have to be put in place for all that's prophesied to come to pass. So I would encourage you today, because every time I preach, I sense where people are spiritually. And I want to know that there's some people in this room that are going to stand tall for Jesus in these last days. Because you can't tell people what Jesus can do for them. You can't share your hope if they can't see it. That's why the Bible said if you ever get it, and it's real and crystallized in you, you get ready to be witnesses for Jesus. You don't have to try to find somebody. Somebody's going to find you. Be ready to give an answer to all men, instant in season, out of season, for the reason of the hope that is in you. Can you say amen? Because they're going to wonder why you're not just like them. When they start talking all of the dismal negativity, and here you are with a serenity and a hope shining forth. they're going to want to know what pill are you taking? What drink are you drinking? And you tell them it's not a pill and it's not a drink. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. It's time for our communion service. As we receive communion today, would you do something? When you receive what He has paid such a price to grant you, would you not let the devil defraud you of anything that Jesus has accomplished in your behalf at the cross? Would you reject the fear that debilitates you, depresses you, and oppresses you? And would you embrace the faith that comes from knowing my sins are forgiven? I'm in the ark. Hallelujah. And the ark is sealed within and sealed without, that I may have boldness in the day of wrath. I don't have to concern myself or worry about what's coming on the earth, because I know and look forward to who's coming to the earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.